and I will put it in. So if I mention something and you have a question, then press star 6 on your phone and you can get in the queue. Real quick, who on this call is not a member of Black Wallets Matter? If this is your first time and you're not really sure what Black Wallets Matter is about, press star 6 on your phone, please. If you are not yet an association member of Black Wallets Matter, meaning you have not paid a membership due, you haven't watched the blueprint, you really don't understand what Black Wallets Matter is about, please press star 6 on your phone. Brother Terrence. Yes, Brother Terrence.
No, I'm a member of Black Wallet. I just had a question. If I could get another guy here in the area on the call, how could I get him on the call?
He's not a member?
No.
Okay. So you would have to give him, the number, the call-in number. But real quick, we're kind of going to be moving fast. This is about that ambassadorship program. But yeah, is this like someone like that we were talking about? Someone who may have the experience or whatever it is to help you out.
Yes, as someone I'm
okay.
Looking for.
Give him that conference call number, that 712 number.
Okay.
Along with the PIN number. All right.
Okay. I got you.
All right. Brother Ken. Yes.
Yes, sir. You doing okay today?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So you are not a member of Black Wallets Matter?
No, I am not.
Okay. All right. So really, I'll go over this really quick. So we have our normal calls on Thursdays. You were
right
there. Did you catch the beginning? You know that we are a member association. We are dedicated, or we are 100% committed to actually making changes in the community. We are talking about taking direct action, and the way that we're going to do that is via our local chapters and then some of the high-level things that we have planned. Do you need me to go over that?
Just for time's sake, if you need to just go ahead and do what you guys got to do. I just called today because I seen the email, and we were supposed to talk around 2 o'clock today. And then I seen the email saying, can you call about 4 o'clock? So I decided to call in. So, you know, I don't want to hold up what you guys are doing, but
trying to
get as much input as I can.
Well, if you want to get right, well, then if you want to get some input, then this is a good thing. So this is something that you may want to hear. So okay, no problem. Hang around. We're going to be talking about our ambassadorship program and some of the guidelines that we have for it. So the ambassadorship program. So let me take you out the queue. Hold on for a second. Caller from 312 area code. Your first name, please.
Lisa Calluet.
Peace, Lisa. How you doing, sister? Okay. So the goal. All right. So the ambassadorship program is designed to help members have some guidelines in terms of creating their local chapters. Well, we have more people coming in right now. Caller from 914 area code, your first name, please.
My first name is Neve.
I'm sorry, sister, could you help me out with that?
Yes. I said my first name is Neve. N-E-V-E.
N-E-V-E, okay.
Neve.
All right.
And I'm from Connecticut.
Okay, cool. Okay, great.
Sister. Originally from New York.
Okay, great. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
So, peace, Brother Ron. How you doing? So basically, the ambassadorship program is to help members form local chapters, form chapters in their local areas. to some of the requirements to establish a chapter. You need to have at least two founding members residing in the same area, and they must agree to work together. So what we mean by founding members is if you are a member of Black Wallets Matter, at this stage you are a founding member. And then you need another founding member to agree that you guys want to establish a chapter in your area. You guys can be ambassadors, but you guys do not necessarily have to be board members. And I'll get into that in a moment, because we had some members, they met up yesterday, and they were a little confused about some of the things that they should have been doing, or, you know, how they should have been proceeding. So when the two founding members get together, they must establish an administrative board. The administrative board will conduct the chapter's business affairs, address the issues, and outline the initiatives that we are talking about that I'll go over briefly. The administrative board will consist of a president, and that individual that's the president should have previous business or organizational experience and must demonstrate leadership qualities. Running a chapter, running an organization is very, very hard work. You're going to need to have some time to do it. You're also going to need organizational experience, or at least the experience of running a business. And the reason why is because this organization prioritizes revenue-generating activities. That's what makes us different from most other organizations. Other organizations, they say, okay, we want to, you know, give stuff away. We want to do good in the community. But I don't know if there's anyone on their boards that tell them, hey, listen, you cannot give stuff away without having a way to generate those resources, or without a way to aggregate those resources. A lot of organizations like to look for donations. They like to look for donations. They like to do other fundraising events. They usually are positioned as nonprofits. This organization is not. This organization is trying to be very self-sufficient in the things that we do, and so we are trying to create ways to generate the money that we need for our initiative. And so that is why the president must have previous business experience. The vice president is someone who must have managerial experience, because the vice president will help the president run the organization. So usually the presidents are the one who has the vision. They map out like some of the long-term planning, but the managers and the vice presidents are usually one that breaks these things down into details, into action steps, and oversee these things being implemented. The next board position is a secretary. And that is someone who is going to provide administrative support for the chapter. And their requirements is someone that should have strong clerical, organizational, and communication skills. As many of you know, usually the secretary is the one that is the glue of the whole organization. She knows everything, almost about everyone. And so we need someone who is excellent in that position. Or you guys in your local chapter, you will need someone in that position. And then the last board member is the treasurer. This is the person that will handle the finances. Again, this individual should have a business, finance, or an accounting background. They need to be trustworthy, because they will be the ones handling the finances of your chapter. They will work closely with the national organization so that the money that your chapter brings in, so that they can make sure that that money is being spent wisely or being used wisely and resourcefully in your local community. All right? So I want to give you some notes. The administrative roles may be appointed at the local chapter level. So that means members can get together and figure out amongst themselves who should be which role of the administrative board. But the national organization reserves the right to remove or replace any board member if it is determined that that person does not meet the qualifications or cannot execute the duties in accordance with the standards and values of Black Wallets Matter. The reason why is because for the time being, the administrative board will be working closely with me on some of the initiatives and, you know, setting up the chapter. And when I'm sitting down and we're discussing business and we're discussing the way that things need to operate, I need people who are on familiar territory. I cannot take the time to go and educate someone about the rudiments of business and organizational structure. So if you are a member, if you are currently a member of Black Wallets Matter, but you do not have any of these requirements, you can still be an ambassador. And what you can do in the ambassador capacity is recruit the people who have these requirements. So Brother Terrence and I were talking, was it 2 days ago? He's one person, I believe he said he was in Tampa, Florida. So he would go around and he would recruit the additional pieces to help him build out that chapter. So again, like I said, you can still be an ambassador as a founding member of Black Wallets Matter, but if you do not meet the requirements to be one of the founding board members, then you would be able to go around in your local area, find someone who may be a business person who actually cares about what's going on in the community, and invite them to help you establish that chapter. The reason why these initiatives are outlined, and I'll go over them, they're outlined in order of importance, is because there will be challenges and hurdles that need to be overcome prior to you actually doing anything in your local community. We want to make sure that our brothers and sisters are perceiving this organization with a level of professionalism and respect. We don't want to just do anything, throw anything out there, because we all know our brothers and sisters will judge us more harshly than they would someone else, you know, judge other people. So once the administrative board is formed, the first responsibility of that board is to find a free or inexpensive place to conduct town hall meetings. Town hall meetings are pretty much like the calls that we have on Thursday, is where we go over, we briefly go over what Black Wallets Matter is about. And so you would need something like maybe a library conference room, a community center. It could be at a barbershop. It could be at a restaurant, Masonic temples, churches, and things like that. You want to raise the awareness of Black Wallets Matter, and you want to invite guests to the town hall meetings. Once you go over what Black Wallets Matter is about, anyone that is interested, then you would invite them to become an association member. And so what I will do is I will create a condensed version of our current blueprint. So the blueprint is 36 minutes now. I can probably get it down to about 10, 15 minutes or so. Anyone who wishes to become an ambassador, you will have to learn and internalize what that blueprint is about, what Black Wallets Matter is about, because there will be people who will undoubtedly have questions at the end of those calls, and you need to be able to answer those calls. So whoever is in your group, whoever is in your chapter, you may need someone that can speak well, someone who can be a host, someone who can be a presenter. What I was actually thinking, if you form your chapter and you don't necessarily have anyone, I'm thinking trying to figure out a way where if you invite your guests, let's say on Thursdays when it corresponds with our Thursday call, maybe I can start doing the calls like on a screen share type thing, like through Skype or Google Hangouts or whatever it is, and then so I would be essentially hosting your call for you, and then you guys would be, your local chapter would be able to call in with your questions, and I could answer everything right there on the fly all at one time. And so, you know, by leveraging technology, we would be able to do this all across the country. But once that administrative board is formed, priority number one is getting more men and women interested in letting them know that you are doing something for the community, inviting them to find out more about Black Wallets Matter. We're sitting down thinking about what kind of supporting materials we will help brothers and sisters with in these chapters, so in the form of brochures. But initially, Sister Clarice and Sister Ashley and I came up with the idea of having flyers, because we have a wanted poster on our Facebook page. That is our best recruiting piece of material, and so we're figuring out how to turn that into a flyer. You guys would be able to download that and run off copies of it and just hand that out. We want the flyers to be able to do the selling for you. So if you're not an outgoing person, if you're not a salesperson, then we want this flyer to be something very simple where you're able to hand it to someone, and it pretty much does the selling job for you. Or at the very least, it gets the person interested enough to ask you, where should I meet you for the town hall meeting, or give you a call to discuss the organization a little bit more. So at the town hall meetings, the place that you have your town hall meeting should have a banner that displays the Black Wallets Matter logo, so that when guests arrive, they can immediately identify with the organization. To create a positive vibe and make guests comfortable, organizers may want to consider playing feel-good music such as old-school classics, old-school R&B, like Michael Jackson, Marvin Gaye, that kind of stuff. At their discretion, ambassadors may serve refreshments during the meeting, so you can have water, maybe a fruit or sandwich platters, pizza, wings, things like that. And then at the end of the presentation, as I said, the host will hold a Q&A session and answer questions that any guests may have. And then of course, invite them to become association members. Once whoever signs up, your chapter will have a dedicated checkout page. So when you're inviting people to become association members, they will be able to sign up right there. Maybe someone will have an iPad or whatever it is. Maybe they'll be able to go right on their phones. And then, so let's say if you're in Cincinnati, then there will be a page, Black Wallets Matter Cincinnati, and they will be able to become a member right then and there. And then all attendees should be at the end of the call or the town hall. All attendees should be invited to return to future town hall meetings and bring along family and friends. Make no mistake, this will require a massive recruitment effort because you're starting from ground zero. You have to build up your chapter numbers. Now, the organization, the national organization, we're going to be helping you simultaneously. Once we have our ambassadors lined up for all the different places, and you can look at that list that we have, once we have our ambassadors lined up, we will continue to add new people, new ambassadors or new members. So if someone is a founding member of Black Wallets Matter and we send them to you, then they would be an ambassador. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a board member, but they will be an ambassador, and they should be helping you grow that chapter and then helping with some of the more tedious work, the rolling up the sleeves and getting things done. That means if, the place that you guys are having your meeting, if that place needs to be swept clean and wiped down and chairs need to be set up and things like that, all the founding members of Black Wallets Matter, unless you're elderly to the point where you're disabled or something like that, you are expected to chip in just as much as the people who are on the administrative board. That is your chapter. That is where you go and speak to brothers and sisters about Black Wallets Matter with as much passion as if you are a host or a presenter or the president, vice president, or whatever. Because after all, that is your local community. Okay? So again, like I said, I want you to keep in mind, many of our brothers and sisters will judge us harder than they will other people. So the town hall meetings will have to run smoothly, and it's our major recruiting tool for new members. So prior to you guys going live, like I said, I will be working closely with the administrative board. I will more or less be quizzing guys. I will be quizzing you guys, finding out, you know, asking you questions that I know come up frequently, listening to how the presentation of, you know, of your blueprint or whatever it is, however it is, I will be asking you some of the issues that you want to address in your local area and then help you weave that in with your presentation. So let's say if we're talking to someone who's in Flint, Michigan, well, they may be prioritizing their water. We will have a way to incorporate cleaning, getting clean water to these brothers and sisters and things like that. We'll figure out a way to, like I said, include that in their presentation in a smooth way. Okay, so financial accountability. The treasurer of each chapter will work closely with the national organization to keep account of the chapter's membership dues and business revenue. So membership dues will be collected, like I said, through a dedicated page made specifically for that chapter. 70% of the revenues collected will be kept in escrow for use by the local chapter. 30% of revenues will be used by the national organization to help offset costs with marketing and support of the chapter. When the chapter needs to make a payment or to execute initiatives, they can request a disbursement. Or if they use their own money up front, you know, they have their receipts, they can request a reimbursement, and they would, and the chapter's treasurer would submit that to the national organization in the form of an invoice. So again, like I said, the local chapter will have a balance kept in escrow for use within that community. The treasurer will always know how much money that the treasurer should keep books so that they know always know how much money is available, and at any time they can request a report or a balance from the national organization to make sure that those balances match. If there are any discrepancies, then those things can be worked out. All right? So the year one action plan. So I don't know how long it's going to take members to form their local chapters with their administrative board, but you can't pass go until you have that administrative board, because there are a lot of moving parts, and people need to be responsible for certain parts, for certain actions and certain things. So again, as I say to you, if you are on the call and you are interested in forming your local chapter, but you do not meet any of the requirements, you can still be an ambassador. Think to yourself, who in my local area cares about what's going on for the community? Who's a business person? Who's someone who is used to organizing parties or, you know, the PTA or whatever it is? And try to have those people either, one, come onto a call. You could even set it up where I can speak to them, you know, where we can have like a little conference call. Undoubtedly they'll have questions about Black Wallace Matter that you may not be able to answer at that time, but I can do that for you. And then we'll move from there. And once you guys have that administrative board together and, you know, the other participating ambassadors, your goal would be to build that membership up to at least 50 members, because the membership dues from those 50 members will help the organization be able to launch into some of the other initiatives. Simultaneously, if you can, in your community, look for places that are hiring and then become a resource to help people get jobs in your community. So what we want to do is we want to take a two-prong approach to help in the community. So we want to launch our own initiatives, our own businesses, and our own things, but we also want to be looked upon favorably in that community. And if you are able to help people get jobs or any other thing that your community needs, and it doesn't require the financial resources of the chapter, but you're able to direct people, that will make the chapter look good. That will allow more people to come in and become members. So a while back, we were talking about helping people get their CDLs. But as we looked into it, helped young men, and women too, because women drive trucks, help them get their CDLs and then turning them on to getting jobs. The laws or the way that works is not the same everywhere throughout the country. But if you guys could research something like that, maybe there are some job training initiatives or some different programs in your local area that may not be available someplace else. If you find out how that works and start getting young men and women into these programs and helping them get jobs, or even if you know a large employer in your area and they have like some minority quota that they have to make or whatever, and then you guys become the feeder for that, then that will make your local chapter get so much notoriety and so much respect in your local community. So that is what, like, the group of you guys should be sitting down talking about. Those are your milestones. And once you get more, once you guys have membership dues coming in, so let's say 50 members, then the next thing that you should do with that money is try to organize fundraising events. And so that's setting up block parties to sell tickets. And, you know, you may have bouncy houses and carnival rides selling food and drinks and things like that at a concession stand. The laws and the rules of how those things are managed is going to vary state by state. That's why you need the administrative board, because it is the responsibility of the administrative board to figure out what kind of permits are necessary to do what it is. We have a nonprofit organization called Wheelchairs Against Guns. So if anyone runs into a situation where they're saying we can't do this because we do not have a nonprofit status, we have Wheelchairs Against Guns to use as a 501c3 nonprofit to pretty much smooth the way for the things that we want to do. So we're covered all around the board. Bake sales, selling candy, that's one of the cool things you can do. In New York, they have these little young guys that, well, they say that they're doing it. I know before they were doing, they were really raising money for their basketball teams. I don't know what they're doing now, but I respect any young guy out there hustling candy as opposed to hustling drugs, so I support them anyway. But you can recruit a bunch of young men and women, get them off the streets and have them selling candy and cakes and dinner and whatever else, as opposed to selling drugs. And when I mean young, I mean like teenagers and kids, right? So the money from that combined, so the money for those fundraising activities combined with the membership dues, the chapter should look to start a business with the aim of employing men and women in the community. And so we have been discussing businesses with low startup costs. So lawn care services, commercial window cleaning, auto detailing, maybe, you know, hand car wash, moving, you know, helping people move, or junk removal services, local delivery services, tree and or snow removal, depending on where you live. And then, you know, cell phone screen repair training. Brother ST, I believe he says he has something where he takes his grandson. Hold on, Brother ST. Hello,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
What is it, the business that you started with your grandson that you use to keep him off the streets and keep him busy?
Yeah,
what
we
is
have
that business?
We have small business. It's just a pilot program to see how it works out, but it has a great potential in sanitizing trash receptacles. After the trash people pick up the trash, we have the type of carts with the two wheels. You can roll them, and what we do is basically go in there and pressure rinse the inside and inside of the trash receptacle and the inside of the trash lid. And then we sanitize it with a disinfectant that claims to be 99.9% kills germs and so forth. And it's a pretty straightforward, simple operation, but it was just something that I came up with to busy my grandson and develop a work ethic, if you will. He's taken hold to it pretty well, but it has a lot of potential if the members on the call would just pause and think about it for a moment, you know, especially in the summertime with all the heat and the maggots and things that are left in the trash receptacle and the odor and everything. It would be nice to just pick up your trash receptacle, roll it back to the backyard or wherever you keep it, and have that sanitized smell to it, other than that putrid maggots and
right.
residual garbage and so forth. And it's pretty straightforward. We have it's a electric type of pressure washer. It's not very high pressure. It's moderate pressure, but all we do is rinse with clear water. We rinse everything out, and then once we rinse it out, then we go with an application of a disinfectant. And it's working pretty well.
Okay, so it's all right. So essentially, I'm gonna mute your phone again. So essentially, they have a business where they're sanitizing trash receptacles and things like that. I know full well about that because my garbage cans get that exact have that exact problem, and I got to clean them out. So what we're envisioning is if you could, let's say, you get together like a group of young men and women again. Because again, the children are our future. We want to, if you were to go around, put together some flyers or whatever, maybe there are some seniors in the area. Maybe there are some people who are working all the time and they're not, you know, they're not able to maintain their homes, their yards, their things like that. If you are able to put together some flyers and say, listen, this is what this initiative is to get these young men and women, keep them busy, teach them a work ethic, like the brother said, and all of this stuff, and you know, away from selling drugs and doing whatever. I am sure you guys will have your phones ringing off the hook, and people will be more than happy to do something for their neighborhood. It will give them a sense of pride. That we also posted on our Facebook page, there were a bunch of young men who got some garbage bags and some gloves, and they just went out and they cleaned their own neighborhood. No one even told them. They just were tired of seeing their neighborhood. So clean up is a very, very good way to put a lot of people to work, because a lot of times we come from these areas and they are dilapidated and they need a lot of work. So that could be slapping a fresh coat of paint on something. That could be making sure that the grass is cut. That could be making sure that the trash is cut. Just making the area look better will give people a sense of pride. And if you're able to say, Black Wallets Matter, Baltimore did this. Right, we're just reclaiming one block at a time, just one block at a time. We take a block, it looks twisted, we're just going to bring it back. We're going to go knock on the door, hey, Mrs. So-and-so, we have these young men and women out here, we're trying to teach them work ethic, whatever. We want to sweep up in front of the yard. Sister Constance has this thing where she wants to plant things, but I know, up here in the Northeast, it's about to be wintertime. So it may be a little rough to do that, but if you were to just start cleaning up the front of some of these houses, maybe repainting front doors, if anyone that's on the team has some masonry skills, they could patch broken stoops and steps and, wood, they could rebuild some of these things, and then you can say, hey, I could do this for you for a nominal fee, 25, 50, 60, 100 bucks, whatever it is, whatever the neighborhood can stand. That would be revenue coming in, and then you guys would also be able to pay these young men and women. That will create an enormous sense of pride within your local community, and that would start the snowball effect. Right? And so that could just be an initiative, getting it right off the ground. Then it can be put into a formal business. And we'll worry about that bridge when we get there, because Sister Shauna and I were talking about it, and we were saying, well, do we really want to go and start incorporating in all these different states and dealing with all this paperwork and jumping through all these hurdles and doing all of this craziness? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. So right now, so when you guys set something like that up, the profits, like I told Brother Terrence this the other day, he was saying, well, how do we manage the money? The treasurer in that local area is the one who would manage that revenue. The treasurer will be the one responsible for paying whoever is being employed or giving them money, and they will work, again, like I said, with the national organization, and they will ensure that your chapter has that money available to the escrow account. All right? So with the next order of business from that point, once you guys have something going, is to look for a larger space. look for a place to serve as an official headquarters to the chapter, and that space should be large enough to offer, have like classrooms so that you can offer social programs. We were talking about like a new code of ethics for Black children, redefining what it means to be Black, so that it will be a cultural and behavioral conduct that redefines what it means to be Black. The details will follow. We haven't worked out every single thing. I am not a cultural guru or whatever it is, but we will figure things out. But I know, like, at the very least, we're talking about things like Black people help one another, Black people don't kill each other, Black people don't steal from one another. You know what I'm saying? Just some basic things that we can teach our children, right? So you want to teach this to the youth so that they will grow up with a spirit of cooperation with one another, because that's our biggest problem right now. We don't work with one another and we don't help one another. As soon as possible, whenever the organization or the chapter can afford it, the chapter should buy computers and create a computer lab to help the youth and adults in the area. The adults can come there, work on the computers, and, you know, get up, write up resumes and, you know, help them with something. They may need some remedial learning classes and things. We have a brother from Brooklyn, Q Butter. He is already doing that. He has a studio. He took half of his studio, shut half of it down, and just put in desks and chairs and started, you know, helping people get their GEDs and then tutoring the kids after school. So I'm going to be finding out a little bit more of how he got those resources. But, I mean, he's in New York. There's, like, tons of money when you want to do stuff like that available in New York, and it may not be available in your local area. So if that's not the case, we'll figure out some way for you to do that. The next thing you guys could do is offer financial literacy classes. We all know financial literacy courses, wealth building information is desperately needed within our organization. We have a few members that are working on this. I'm working on this right now. Once we templatize this, then whoever is hosting or presenting at your local chapter, there will be a night when your guys are just inviting people in to give them the rudiments of financial literacy. And then once they understand what they should be doing in terms of managing their money, then that chapter, you guys would be able to ask people if they want to form investment groups and things like that. And if the chapter gets big enough, or if you are in a state or city that has a lot of resources, you know, available public money or whatever it is, try to offer these trade programs to teach our young men and women to how to earn a living with their hands. Plumbing, electricity, masonry, welding, whatever it is, driving trucks. Again, these things are very, very important, because the biggest reason a lot of our brothers and sisters turn to crime is because they cannot make a decent living with the current skills they have. I don't want to get into the schools are failing us and it's the school's responsibility and things like that, because personally, I am not in that camp. I am in the camp of we need to teach ourselves. We need to do for ourselves. If the schools who are ran by white people, if they're not going to do the job, that doesn't mean we sit back and still do not let the job get done. The job has to be done anyway. And so we have to shoulder that responsibility. And so that is what that chapter will be there for. Now, what the chapters are, essentially, if you watch the blueprint or if you ever come on any of the other calls, you will hear me talk about these community resource centers. The community resource centers are essentially what this organization's main goal is, because that is how we are going to change the state of affairs in the Black community. We have to reach the babies. We have to change the children. Most of us know you're not going to talk to an adult and tell them something and then they're going to be able to change and then they're going to change their mind on a dime. That's not going to happen. But for children, you can raise a child the way that you want the child to be, and then that child will blossom in that path. And that's really what we need. We need a place for our young men and women, for our children, to walk out of their front doors have a safe place, and receive the type of training, the cultural, financial training that's going to make them successful and productive in this country. These children are also going to need legal and political protection, and that is why we are prioritizing hiring lawyers and lobbyists. But this is not a call for that. That's on our Thursday call. We go a little bit more into that. But that is essentially what Black Wallets Matter is about. We are about creating these community resource centers so that we can save our babies. Now, in the process of saving our babies, of course, we have to take care of the parents, or we have to provide resources for their parents. We prioritize single mothers. Our Black women make up 70% of all women living at or below, of all people living at or below the poverty line. So if we are able to provide resources to these sisters, that will be better for the children. We are also prioritizing men who are the heads of their households, who may be having a hard time getting it together or keeping it together. You're not going to say getting together. So if you're a man, you decide to stick it out with your family for better or for worse, but it's a little rough, brother, we want to help you, right? It should not be hard because you're not raising knuckleheads. You're raising another young, you're providing a strong father figure. You're providing structure for men and women that will grow up to be productive, okay? So the last thing I want to talk about is the organizational conduct within these local chapters. Every member of the chapter is expected to treat each other and the guests, those are people that are being invited, with the utmost respect. Ambassadors are expected to be professional and conduct themselves as pillars of their community. Brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you how important that is. The reason why we want to be seen as pillars of community is because people will hear what you say, but more importantly, they watch what you do. And so if the members of this chapter are fighting and bickering, and then there's someone from the outside looking at this thing, they're going to be like, oh, this is just some other BS organization. Brothers and sisters are expected to address one another as brother and sister. So like I say on our Thursday calls, the reason we address one another as such is out of a show of respect and solidarity. We must represent solidarity at all times. We must show solidarity. The implementation of this program will be a character building exercise. But as of lately, I want to say maybe since about the 70s, 80s, we haven't been working with one another. We don't have that cooperative experience anymore. And so we have to learn to work with one another one again. We have to learn to set aside our differences. And the reason we need to do that is because the end result is more important than anything else. We're trying to leave something really great for future generations. We're trying to build a legacy here. That is what Black Wallets Matter is about. So again, like I said, cooperation amongst ambassadors is essential to the success. Disagreements will arise. Sister Clarice made it. She added this whole organizational conduct, but she really defined it. She said that everyone is going to bring a unique perspective and skill set to the program. She broke down the different roles of people, the different personalities that they have. But the bottom line is that there will be disagreements, but the disagreements will be resolved by taking a vote. So that means whoever is a member of that chapter, the two opposing thoughts, they will be presented to the group as a whole, and members will vote. If the vote results in a tie, then the administrative board would vote on it to break that tie. And I don't even know what happens if that winds up in a tie. We didn't even think that far. But whatever decision is made, the people on the opposing side should not cause further dissension. That's it. They should just agree with it, their idea was not voted, sit back and give full cooperation to help execute the idea that was voted. That's another reason why there are requirements that people must have previous business and organizational ideas. You can't have people sitting there voting on goofy ideas just because they feel like it. The ideas should be sound and they should have reason. So let's see here, what else? Okay, and then we have an action plan that's 2 years and beyond, and essentially it is just talking about reaching out and creating additional branches within your city and helping Black Wallets Matter as a whole reach its five-year goal of 1 million association members. So that's, you know, you can call in on Thursday and hear, you know, my spiel about the 1 million association members. But right now, I want to hear from anyone who has any questions about what they heard. Really quick, if anyone has come on the call, if you are not yet an association member of Black Wallets Matter, then you would have to become an association member first to become an ambassador, but you would become a founding member. You would be a founding ambassador. If anyone on the call has previous business organizational skills, if there's something that I have overlooked in the initial stages, then I would love your input in regards to that. You can look at the list that I just sent out on the email. So I updated the list, and I will continue to update the list as more brothers and sisters come in. For now, that is this is where we are. Sister Virginia, how are you? I did not see you come in. Yes, sister.
Hi, Brother Lou. I came in a little late. But I wanted to ask, did you have a fundraising chapter, each chapter, like a fundraising department? Because I would love to start that.
Well, all right. So for anyone who is a member, I sent you an email. The guidelines, the ambassadorship guidelines, are available in your membership area.
Okay.
And it talks about the stages of when fundraising. If you're talking about something outside of what we were talking about, then that's probably something that you and I would need to talk about. So if you're talking about fundraising for the national organization, that's different. But if you're talking about something on the chapter level, it would have to be done at the chapter level. It would be
okay,
done.
Yeah.
Right. So I know we were talking about things. We were talking about doing things on the national level, on the larger level.
Okay.
Is that what you're referring to?
Well, both, actually, but I would probably start smaller with the chapter, you know, something with the chapters. And I don't see my area. I'm in New York. I just looked at it, and I don't see anyone. I thought I saw Newburgh, New York.
Yeah, it's New. Right. You're in the Bronx, right?
Right. I'm in Bronx, New York. I don't see it.
So,
I see Baltimore, St. Louis.
No one mentioned the Bronx. No one mentioned the Bronx. But I do know there are people in the Bronx. And what happens is, I probably want to like talk to the New York people ourselves, right? Because New York is so big and so many different boroughs. I want to. Brother Khadib is, I think, Brother Khadib is in the Bronx. So
okay.
I will. I'll reach out to him. Yeah, I'll reach out to him, and we'll see what we can do. All right?
Okay, great.
Yep,
thank you.
No problem. All right. Sister Christine.
Ooh.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi, Brother Luke, how you doing?
All right.
I just have to say that I'm very excited about everything that you've shared and everything that I've heard, and I'm very happy that we as a people were starting to get it. In sense of putting together things that we need to do. We've always been a nation within a nation, right? But we haven't fully operated as such. Now we're laying the groundwork. We're laying the, I don't want to preach or nothing like that, but there's a saying that says, I think the Native American saying that says that they walk on the ground very gently because they know that seven generations coming after them have to walk on the same ground. So when I think about all the things that we have, this small little conversation, a meeting here, a little group of people here, and just thinking about how it's going to blossom in something so amazing that we are really working as the pioneers for our that seventh generation that's going to come after us. So I'm very excited. I'm not only hearing it from you, I'm hearing it. There are little pockets of black folks. They're talking about economic empowerment. We're talking about raising our own, not raising, but teaching our own children. We're talking about all the fundamentals that make a nation. And I think before, as a people, our we had this talk about back during Marcus Garvey's time, 1920s, and folks wasn't really getting it then. And we went through thinking assimilation was it, we thought integration was it. We realized none of that works, right? We have to do for ourselves, and we have to focus on just being black and being as a group, working together as a group. Everybody works together as a group. And I'm very happy that we are starting to get that. And I think we're a small group now, but you have some people who are leaders, you have others who are followers. The followers will start to see the leaders making moves, and they're going to join the crew. So I'm very excited. I'm very happy to be a part of this point in history, because this is going to be in the history books. That's what I truly believe. So that's what I want to say.
Thank you so much, sister. Okay. Sister Shauna? Hello?
Hey, Brother Luke.
Hey, how you doing, sister?
I just wanted to say real quick, I talked to a couple of people just by chat with the few people that I've been talking to, and they all asked about New York. They all said, I asked them why weren't they on, you know, are they on the call? And they all said, well, New York wasn't listed. So just to throw that out there to you.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're having a hard time. I don't know what more to do. All right. So the biggest problem, right? There's no way we have 11,000 people. There's no way for me to effectively communicate with people other than through email. And people, I don't know what more I can do. I don't know why they aren't reading the email. The previous email specifically said if you do not see your town or city, hit me up, let me know, I will add it to the list. I will tell you what we have added to the list. We have added so many different places. St. Louis, Baltimore, Savannah, Georgia, Tampa, New Orleans, Louisville, Kentucky, Cleveland. You know, all these places. These are people who just sent me back an email and said, hey, I'm a member, add it to the list. That was the instruction. Now, New York is a little bit different because there's so many boroughs, so they have to say New York, and they have to say the Bronx, or they have to say such and such, such and such. But even still, you know, it's just that simple. Just respond back, send me an email, and say add it to the list. Anyone on the call, if you have a place that you want to add, just send me an email, add it to the list. You have to be a member, though, because if you're not a member, then how are you going to invite people to become a member of a chapter of an organization that you are not yet a part of? So that pretty much sums it up. Thank you, Sister Shauna. If no one else has any questions, so this is not our normal call. Okay, Sister Mildred, okay. Yes, Sister.
So for me, I just joined today. From Cleveland, and I'm not sure how I can contact other Clevelanders there so we can form a union. I'm not sure if I'm the only one currently right now. I joined, I'm not really a member yet, but I was going to commit later on when I get home.
Okay. So for anyone on the call that is not a member, you can go to the website, click the menu button, and then there is a link that says become a member. You will know if you become a member if you have paid a membership due. And if you want to know, if you want to get an idea of what the organization is about, then you can watch the blueprint. There's also on that page where it says become a member, there's a recording of our past town hall meetings. We have more. There's a whole bunch of them in the private members area. We do them every week sometimes. And then we also have members-only calls, so you would be able to go back and see the nature of the things that we discussed. The last few things that we have been discussing have been these local chapters. This is something that our members are really excited about because one of the major questions I get is, hey, I love what you guys are doing, but how can Black Wallets Matter help benefit my local community? And so that's where this comes in. And again, like I want to say to everyone, this is not something to be taken lightly. This is not going to be easy. Running an organization, running a chapter is not going to be easy. It's going to require a lot of time. It's going to require a lot of work, which is the reason why we say that you should have an administrative board, because you want to have at least three other people helping you. If you do not have meet the requirements of becoming an administrative board member, you still can be an ambassador and help. You can be an organizer. You could be also, like Sister Virginia said, she wants to be a fundraiser. So you could. So there's different things that someone can do rather than being the president or something else, because these chapters are going to need a lot. If you're an artistic person, you could come up with some flyers. If you want to contribute to your chapter, you know, financially, you could pay for flyers, pay for cards. If you have a group of young men and women, you can volunteer to take the young men and women to certain neighborhoods and have them pass out the flyers. Like, it's going to require a lot of different moving parts. It's going to require having some vision, having some forward vision. I'm sorry.
You're gonna shooting around.
I'm sorry, sister. I didn't hear you.
Oh, is this still from Mildred or?
Yes, this is. Yeah. Okay. If you're out the queue. Okay. I'm sorry, sister. I hung up. Sister Constance. Hello, sister.
I'm sorry, I was talking. It was on mute. The condensed blueprint level here. Do you think we'll be able to have that by November the 11th? Because I was looking to have something at my house, inviting people to the party.
No, I won't. I won't be able to have it by November 11th. You would have to form a board of people, and then I would have to meet with you guys to find out exactly what's going on. So if you have your people who you are interested in, then we would talk about it. But you guys would have to like watch the blueprint yourselves. You guys would have to watch the blueprint yourselves. Then again, like I said, we would have to go through. I would more or less quiz you, because when they have questions, how would you answer the question?
Okay.
There's a FAQ on the website, but people, you know, sometimes people come up with questions like, I mean, you wouldn't believe. So.
Right, I understand that. So maybe we can have a conversation, because this was just like for the people, my immediate friends, just to spread the word, not necessarily about the, because I know we got to form the local chapter. I know we have to have those pieces. But in the meantime, I still wanted to let the people closest to me know about it and have a conversation about it.
I'll tell you exactly what you can do. You can log in the members area. You can listen to some of the past town hall meetings, the beginning, the intro of those town hall meetings basically summarizes what Black Wallets Matter. So I usually summarize the blueprint, and that's basically essentially what a condensed version would be. I basically summarize it, so you could write down those points. You can tell them, right, you know, and you could relate that to them. Again, if you want to do it, the full blueprint is like 39 minutes. Have them over, throw it up on the TV or whatever it is, you know, popcorn, something to drink. You guys, you sit there, and you know, and then you take questions from them, and then you say, "Hey, let me talk to Brother Lou." I'm usually available, like all the time. I'm living and breathing this thing. So if you tell me you're having this meeting on this particular day, if it's not a weekend where I'm doing something with my kids or whatever it is, I'll pick up the phone and I could pretty much just talk to your group for you. I'm accessible like that.
Okay. And I also had a question. you said the organization, we are a B corporation.
B corporation, yes, not a nonprofit. Yeah. But if anyone needs, if anyone needs to do something, you know, tax write off or whatever it is, we have a nonprofit organization, Wheelchairs Against Guns.
You said, oh yeah, that's, I missed that part when you were speaking about when you first brought it up. You said Wheelchairs Against Guns.
Wheelchairs Against Guns. Yes.
Okay, and you said if someone needed to write something off, it would go to the organization.
So let's say if in your local area they try to give you the runaround and say, no, you can't do this unless you're a nonprofit or whatever, whatever. You say, okay, hold on, I get right back to you, and then we can get you the EIN or whatever it is from our nonprofit.
Okay. All right, I think that was it.
Okay.
All right.
If anyone else has any other questions, then press *6. And if there are no other questions, then we are going to end this call. This is not our normal call. If anyone, again, like I said, if anyone has not yet joined Black Wallets Matter or wishes to join us, then you can you can go to the website and click the menu button and become a member. And if you are interested, so you have to be a member, a founding member, in order to be an ambassador. If you just want to talk to, the ambassador in your area, once that chapter is formed, then we'll put you in contact with that person. Hold on for a second. Okay. Caller. I didn't get your name, caller from 202. I didn't get your first name.
My name is Tegan. Nice to meet you, Brother Lou.
Sister Tegan. Hold on, sister. How do you spell Tegan? Is that T-I-E-G-A-N?
That's it.
Oh, okay, sweet. Okay, Sister Tegan.
So, listen, I have to be really candid with you. I'm actually a little bit reluctant and kind of nervous about even speaking with you. Because what I experienced that as Black people, we are very selective in which Black life matters. I'm calling from Washington, D.C., and I am super interested in becoming a member and doing as much as I can.
You do understand that this is not Black Lives Matter, right? You do understand. This is Black Wallets Matter. We're not affiliated with Black Lives Matter.
No, I completely get it. So please, I may have spoke too soon. No, I completely understand. I want to be a part of this organization. I'm just afraid of it not being inclusive when it comes to all Black people.
Okay,
and I'm being a little vague, honestly, because I'm a little reluctant. But that's just my concern as far as it being welcoming, because we can be very selective in which Black life. And that's why I said Black Lives Matter. We can be very selective.
Okay, hold on. So let me tell you, have you ever been on any of our Thursday calls?
No, this is my very first time, and I'm wanting to learn a lot more.
Okay, so here is what it is. We, at the beginning of our calls, we do not discuss the Black male and female dynamic. We do not discuss political party affiliation, and we do not discuss religion. The reason we do not discuss those things is because we do not want to alienate anyone. All we care about, right, we don't want to cause arguments. All we care about is that you're Black, and even if you don't even like to use that word Black, you're some pigmented color, and you want to help other pigmented people. That's it. We don't care about your sexual orientation. We don't care about none of that stuff, because that's one of the major problems that we have. We can't learn to put our differences aside and work together. So in regards to that inclusivity, if you are someone who says that you want to work to improve the conditions of our brothers and sisters, and you want to do it in an organized and an intelligent manner, then we want to work with you. And it's just that simple. differences aside, religion, sexual orientation, politics, whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I totally understand, and I'm so glad to hear this because that was my main concern, especially in reference to sexuality. That's just a huge issue that I face a lot when it comes to my very own community. So I was very reluctant to even participate in this because of that fear. So thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no, you keep your business to yourself. That's fine. We don't care. That has nothing to do with us.
Thank you. That's pretty much all that I wanted to express.
Okay. Brother Ken. Brother Ken.
Yes, brother. How you doing?
Peace.
Good, good, good. Listen, I'll try to make this as short as possible. Last Thursday, this past Thursday was the first time I called. I've been wanting to call for a while, but I work at night at a group home facility, so I had to kind of sneak away to make the phone call. One of the other staff members kind of held it down for me. I came in on like the middle of the conversation, so I missed a lot of stuff. I am the sister from D.C. just helped a lot with what she just talked about. Just trying to figure out, you know, just get more information about the organization. I do want to help our community. So just before, you know, you jump in headstrong without knowing a lot of details, just trying to get just a little bit more information just about the associate membership, and also I think I know somewhat about that, but just a little bit more clarity for me, and also about the guns and wheelchair.
Well,
I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right
Yeah, it's wheelchairs against guns. Wheelchairs Against Guns is a nonprofit organization. So we had actually Black Wallets Matter stemmed or grew from Wheelchairs Against Guns. And what it is, it's an organization of brothers who are gun violence victims and go around to right now we're only in the New York City school area, but we go to the schools and we teach these kids about the dangers of bullying, gangs, and gun violence. Brother Kareem, which is one of the founding members of Black Wallets Matter, he is the founder of that particular organization. And that organization prioritizes helping our youth with positive self-esteem, with conflict resolution strategies, and critical thinking. So a lot of people say, well, what is Black Wallets Matter doing? It's like we were doing before Black Wallets Matter. Like, this is where it came from. Realistically, what happened was we were working with these children in the school, and we were realizing that their parents didn't care, and it was hard to get their parents on board. And we was like, you know what? We have to go back a few steps because the parents, and we're not saying that the parents don't care because of whatever, you know, right. There are things that happened in the past, you know, more specifically the crack epidemic. But that you know, this is something that happens. And so this is where this organization came from. It was like, you know what, we have to go back and rebuild from the ground up. So that in regards to the association, to the dues, so you can become a silver member for $10 a month. You can become a gold member at $25 a month, or you can become a platinum member at $50 a month. Those are the different association levels, right? Right now, there is no distinction. You would become a member based on whichever financial comfort level you are at. You don't need to say, oh, I'm going to get this, and someone else isn't going to get that. Because what we are finding is we will have a member who will be at the silver level, and they will be very active, and they will roll up their sleeves, and they will go above and beyond someone who would be at the platinum level. So it really doesn't matter. It just balances out. I mean, people are just wherever they are at the comfort at their comfort level, because what we are doing right now is we are building this thing. That's really where we are. We're just building it from the ground up so that we could put something in front of the other brothers and sisters who have not yet become aware of Black Wallets Matter.
Okay. All right. Now, I am in North Carolina, and I'm in Greensboro, which is not too far from the Raleigh, Durham. I was looking at the email, and I see you have individuals that's from that area. And so I may need to get in contact with them just to conversate or whatever. But I'm very much interested, and I'm ready to get involved, you know, with membership. So just wanted to – I think my thing was just if I'm explaining it to somebody else, you know, I just want to be solid on what I was, you know, what I was conveying to them.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, I mean, and you – again, like I said, have you watched the blueprint?
I have, but I'm going to tell you, person, you know, I may have to look at it a couple times.
Okay.
Just to be strong with my base when I'm, you know, conveying it to other people, and just to assure myself as well.
Right.
Like I said, I've been intending on getting on those calls for a few months now, but like I said, I typically work on Thursday nights, and you know, just had a few minutes to get away just to listen to the phone call, and so yeah, I'm ready to make a move now. So
excellent, thank you, brother. Look forward to having you aboard.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. It's an awesome thing that you're doing. Thank you so much.
No problem. Caller from 972. Your first name, please.
Yes, hi. My name is Mary Snoddy, and I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Hold on, sister. It's Mary. I'm going to put Mary S. Because we do have a sister. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm calling from Dallas, Texas, and I received a few emails from you regarding Black Wallets Matter. And my question is there a chapter that has formed in the Dallas area? And if so, how would I get in touch with the leadership of the Dallas area chapter so that I might meet with them and, you know, just get some more information and direction about, you know, what's going on in my local area? Is there someone locally that I could meet with?
Did you come on this call late? Because we just outlined.
I did. You know what? I'm in Dallas, and you guys are in Eastern time, and I'm in Central time. So I was waiting until I got on it. I just got on it late because I got mixed up with the time. So I just got on. So if you could just email me who that point person would be, that would be fine, and then I would take it from there.
Are you a member of the organization?
I have not become a member yet, but I have corresponded with you a few times about, you know, just different questions that I have, and I wanted to thank you for always responding. I'm sure you're responding to many people, but I am seriously considering membership, and I just wanted to find a point person in my area that I could meet with.
Okay, so this whole call was about establishing those point people. So there are members in Dallas who have expressed. So this ambassadorship program, in order to be an ambassador, you would have to be a member, and then those would be the people who would get together first to form the chapter. And then once the chapter is formed, then we would refer you to the local area, and then you would meet with them. And basically you would be someone that we would refer to your local chapter to help build up your chapter, because we do recognize that there are some people who are on the fence because they like, I want to reach out and I want to touch someone and I want to see someone in my local area, which is the whole reason for this program. It's called the ambassadorship program. But this particular call is finding those members finding men and women who wish to build the local chapter. So the good thing is, if you want to come in on the ground floor of your chapter, this would be the opportunity. This would be the time, because then when you're saying you want to reach out and, you know, touch someone or talk to someone, you would be able to reach out to yourself. Because you would be the representative, right? You would be the one setting the agenda. We have another brother. We have another brother, Brother Harold. We have another sister Kim Nelson, I believe. So they are in Dallas. We have a few other people that are in Dallas but they aren't on the call now. But they have expressed interest in forming that Dallas chapter. I just have to go over the guidelines, which is what we did on this call. We actually went through the guidelines point by point, and you know, it's unfortunate that you missed it, but we just went through everything point by point.
Okay.
And so I guess you could send me an email again, but I mean, if we've been corresponding for this amount of time, you know, you know, you could dip your tip in, you dip your toe in the water at the silver member. The guidelines that I just outlined, it's a full, you know, it's like a full write up. You would be able to download that. The recordings of this call will be in the members area, so we don't make our recordings public. You would be able to go back, recoup the, replay that. Give me a call directly, and then I would be able to work with your group. That's great. All right, sister.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem. Caller from 323 area code. Your first name, please.
This is me, Ben.
Hey, peace, brother Ben. What's going on?
Not much.
All right.
I just wanted to, I got on the call just a little late. But I just wanted to make sure if there's anybody on here from L.A., have you picked the L.A. ambassador yet?
No. But you are
okay,
definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I know. And we got a bunch of people for you. So, yeah. And then there's a sister that I spoke with last week, and she became a member, and she does have a business. So, you guys have the beginnings of your board. You guys got a lot of hustle. There's also one of our oldest members. She just moved from D.C. back there, so she would most likely be on your guys' board. So L.A. is pretty good.
Cool, because I just got me a new location, too.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. All right.
So I'll contact you later about that, getting in contact with them, because I actually got a restaurant.
I just got to figure out how I'm going to do it. I just got to figure out how I'm going to set all of that up. All right, cool. Brother Terrence, Sister Constance, I see you. Brother Terrence, what's going on?
How you doing, Brother Lou? How you doing?
All right.
I had a couple of questions basically about the membership. I know in the blueprint it says something about sponsoring another person. Now, I believe it said you had to be at a certain level to sponsor someone else, or because I'm at the ground floor of the membership at the $10 a month. I didn't want to just jump in at first 50. I wanted to jump in and see what was going on with the association, with the organization, and kind of see how everything works out. Me being the $10 a month, would I be able to still bring in and sponsor someone else at a membership for $10 a month or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. You're a founding member. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's a question. And
no problem.
Also, membership benefit.
We'll go through that on a different call. I really just want to stick to this administrative thing, because I actually have to run out soon and go pick my son up. I just wanted to talk about that.
I was just wondering.
But you have my number. The number that I called you from the other day. So if you want to call me, in a little bit, you know, we're going to wrap this call up, and if you want to call me, we'll go through all of that. Or you can just log in the members area and listen to it. Huh?
No, I was just asking if there was anything set up yet, not trying to go into any detail or anything.
Oh.
And the last question was, am I the only one in the Tampa area so far?
I just added, when you told me about it, I just added it to the list. When you told me, I haven't had anyone respond back to me yet, but it doesn't matter. I can find someone in every single place. I mean, I could run ads specifically for those local areas. So don't worry about it. We'll find someone. We can do.
Okay. Yeah. I'll start seeing what I can do also. So that was just basically it.
Okay. Cool. No problem, brother. All right.
All right.
And Sister Constance.
Hey, Brother Lou, I just wanted to let you know that it was cool for you to give my number to anyone in Baltimore. My email is fine.
Yeah, someone from Baltimore just got off the call. But we'll send it out again. They'll be able to. Because the bottom line is, so there'll be people who they won't do anything until they see someone else doing it. Right?
Right.
They won't make a move until they see someone doing something else first. So, I'll talk to you about, I'll talk to you about some of the things that we've had happen in the past on the calls. Well, not on the calls, but some of the things that happened in the past. But, I'm not, I don't want to get into all of that on the call.
Okay.
Send me an email, and then we can have a one-on-one conversation anyway. All right?
Okay, cool.
All right.
Have a good evening.
So brothers and sisters, we are going to about wrap this one up. So again, on the list for potential for places that people are interested, we have Chicago, Houston, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Detroit, Denver, Philly, LA, Dallas, VA Beach, Norfolk area, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Minnesota. We have a sister in Minnesota. She needs people to reach out. Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. We have Sister Grace and a few other people in that area. St. Louis, Baltimore, and D.C. area. So we just had Sister Constance and with someone else. But I know we have a few people in Baltimore. So if you're in the Philly, D.C., Baltimore area, you guys can support one another. We have Savannah, Georgia. Oh, Macon, Georgia, too. Hold on. We have Sister Alvita in Macon, Georgia. Hold on. Macon. Hold on. We have Macon, Georgia. Okay, so we have Brother Terrence in Tampa, Florida. We have New Orleans. I forgot the sister's name. We have Louisville, Kentucky. We have Cleveland. I think we have Sister Kim in Cleveland, and we have someone else in Cleveland. We just had a caller join from 443 area. Caller, your first name, please. 443 area code, your first name. 443704. I'm sorry? Your first name, please, sister?
Bridget,
okay, sister. And you are in Baltimore?
Can't quite hear you. Can you repeat that?
I said, are you in Baltimore, sister?
I am.
Okay, so Sister Constance just asked for anyone that is in Baltimore, if she'll be heading up the Baltimore chapter. So are you a member of the organization yet, or you're just listening in?
I'm listening in.
Okay, so
trying to get more information.
Okay, so that would usually be done on our Thursday call, but you know what? You can send me an email, and I can patch you in with Sister Constance, and then she could, I guess, bring you up to speed. All right?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Caller from 317, your first name. Caller from 317 area code. Hello? Caller from 317? Your phone is breaking up. Hello? All right, I think 317 is Indianapolis. Caller, 317 area code. All right, well, we have the brother in Indianapolis trying to find. They needed people, too. So, brothers and sisters, that concludes this call. I want to thank you all for coming to hang out with us on a Sunday afternoon. And this call.